I'll be honest with you, there's one thing that stuck with me during the preliminaries, and I want to encourage you this, and that's the young children of God here. I want to encourage you to follow the Lord tonight. You're just as much a child of God as any of us. And don't think that because you're young that you don't have a need to move. And I'll tell you, you do. And I want to encourage you to do that each time that the Lord deals with you. We don't want to do anything on our own, but if the Lord's moving you, you may say, well, I need to wait to this point. No, if the Lord's moving you, you go with what he's giving you to do, because that's what we need at that time. You'll be surprised how you can really change as a young child of God to service. Let me just tell you. Nothing's on your heart. We'll turn over to Romans, the 5th chapter. When I come in the other night, Brother Jeff wasn't here. I had some scriptures, and I was glad that Brother Marty needed to preach, because Brother Marty helped me, and Brother Jeff helped me, and I don't have to come out of the chute just because I got a scripture. I like the Lord to see which way we go with it, and this is quite a bit different from what I would have probably done the best I could if I'd had to, but I was glad Brother Marty and Brother Marty, like you said, preached a wonderful message. For the Lord. And Brother Jeff last night, the ones of you here in Lost was here last night. Brother Jeff warned you, and let me tell you something. This church is concerned for your soul, and this thing is real. And I'll tell you that you've got to get to that point that you see how serious this is, because we don't have any promise of tomorrow. And I probably don't use this as much as I used to, because I know one time I've used it and somebody figured out who I was talking about, and I'm going to try to filter it down so that nobody can do that. But you was talking about, I think somebody said something about being with somebody when they died. The youngest one I've been with was 8 years old when they stepped into eternity. And there wasn't nothing we could do for them. You see? And it happened just like that, how they got hurt. And only a few minutes from the hospital, but it didn't matter, because they stepped into eternity. Now, I'll tell you that you can be scared because of that, but what you really need to be scared of most of all, I'm just telling you that to tell you the facts that life is unsure. Death is sure. You look around you, death is coming after you. It started when you were born, and it's going to be after you catches up with you, or the Lord comes back, one or the other. You may think I've got a long time to live, and I'm telling you, that's not necessarily true. But even if you do have a longer time to live, as I talked to the older man in the back the other night and a couple of times this week, he would tell you, if he's here, if the Lord's dealing with you, don't push it off, because the older you get, he'll tell you it's harder for him to get the Lord to deal with him right now. And brothers and sisters, we need to pray for him, that the Lord will get a hold of him. And Senator Friend, I would encourage you to do that. Over here at Romans 5, the Apostle Paul writing here, I believe, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope and of glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved. We shall be saved through wrath through him. For if when we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, barring the mistakes I've made, this is reading scriptures, and I'll be honest with you, Romans 5, 7 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. But what's really on my heart tonight is going to be found further down, I feel like I need to go through these more than I felt. When I thought I was going to stand, even whenever the Lord stirred the church up, and that was the service, let me just tell you. That was in the past. But we have here says, by whom we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand. Brothers and sisters, we all, anything we do tonight, we're going to have to do it by the grace of God. There's a lot of talent in this church. A lot of good singers and a bunch of good preachers. But let me tell you something. It all has to be done through the grace of God. And you're dependent on that. He gives you those talents and he can take them away too. And wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Let me just tell you, we have a hope. Let me just tell you, sinner friend, that's what you don't have. I know that I haven't been able to use this. I thought I would use it on the boss I worked for when I was in Bowling Green, and I may use it one of these days. The one question I'm hoping the Lord will allow me to ask some of these that go to modern churches: where's your hope? You see, they'll tell you different stuff, but I'll tell you, I know where my hope is. My hope is that night that I let go of everything. And I want to tell you, I let go of everything. That night whenever I was seeking the Lord in my bedroom, I got to the point that it was just couldn't think of anything else to do. And then it's like I reached up to God and I said, God, if you'll just save me, you can take me home right now to be with heaven. If you'll just save my soul, I'm ready to go. You see, that give up all the sins that I would ever commit, let me tell you, in the future. You got to get to that point. You want it more than life itself. And until you get to that point, God's not going to save your soul. Why? Because of the Savior. He's not going to let you get saved until there's nothing in your life that's more important than Jesus. Nothing. Void yourself of everything else. It's about him. You may have hope, may have a lot of confidence in these brothers and sisters here. I do too. But let me tell you something. I have much more faith in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, none of these people have ever saved a soul, but in every one that has ever been saved, he's the one that done it. All the way back. What do you mean all the way back? Adam and Eve. God preached the gospel over there in the garden, let me just tell you. He told them there was a coming seed, and Paul clarified seed as the one referring to Christ all the way back over there. Did the same thing to Abraham. And I have a hope because of that. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Tribulations. Knowing that tribulations work in patience. God is working on us, even as the children of God. Let me tell you something. We need to be thankful whenever trouble comes, let me just tell you. Because if the devil, if you're where the devil wants you, there's no trouble. No trouble. But when you get to the point that you're working for God, trouble's going to come. And but that trouble, you'll get patience. You see, that's where we've gotten this revival. We got to the point that we brothers and sisters have prayed and brothers and sisters have shouted. One got saved. But you know, we're at the point that we're waiting on God to move, let me just tell you. And when we need to move, we need to move. But God's got to come in. And it's done on his time frame, not ours. It says impatience, experience, and experience back to hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Not ashamed. Are you ashamed of the Lord tonight? I'm not. But I'll tell you something. I've read some stuff over the last couple of days scares me because there's another nation all the way across that I visited three times last year. They're telling people over here what we can say, not say. Let me tell you something. I know that I'm very aware of this, there's some stuff I say. Brother Lauren was talking about putting this on the internet. There's people that I work for could hear some of the stuff I say and cause me to lose my job. You know what? Senator Friend, if that happens and it's because I say something that God uses to touch your heart, let it happen. Because let me tell you something, God provided that job for me and he'll provide another one for me if I need be. That's the reason of the night whenever I was up here and I went back there and talked to Mr. Bransford back there he said stuff that I'm going to get into, Lord willing, here in a minute. And I've never done this before. But I sat down up here, and I knew I wasn't going to preach. And the Lord said, go back there and tell him to open that black ribbon that right here. You know where it was marked at? The stuff he told me about back there. The same thing was on my heart was on his heart. Let me tell you something. God works in a lot of different ways. I've never had that happen exactly that way before. And I've never showed somebody what I intended to preach. And I may not even get to those scriptures tonight. It doesn't matter. You see, because I'm going to do what the Lord leads me to do. And we've got to take and have that. We've got to submit ourselves to the Lord, brothers and sisters. That's what these sinners need to see. They need to see us surrendering. And they see us doing what we need to do. And Brother Marty said the other night, why did you come here tonight? Why did you come here tonight? Did you come here so you check? I've been there. I've been to revival. And did you come here expecting God to show up? Did you come here to spend a little time with Jesus? Let me just tell you. Did you come here to spend a little time with Jesus because you love him? You see, that's one of our problems. We've got to look at what we love. We got too many people that love the world more than they do the Lord. And we need to get to that point. And what do you say then here? For when we were without strength in two time, Christ died for the ungodly. Without strength. How were we without strength? I'll tell you how we was without strength. There was no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Why? Jesus was the only one that could pay the price for our sin. He was the only one, sinner friend, and we had no strength to take care of that on our own. You say, why did he give us, why did he give them all those laws and stuff? Paul clarifies that. If the Lord willing, I'll go to find that over in Paul clarifies that, and we'll get there in a minute, Lord willing. He tells you in 3rd chapter of Galatians over here, in the 19th verse, he says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given righteousness, then righteousness would have been by the law. You say the law, nobody ever got saved by the law. Never did, never could, let me just tell you. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin. You're a sinner tonight. Let me just tell you. Without Jesus, you have no hope. And it says that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You see, you got to believe. You got to believe in the Lord with all your heart. He is your only hope. You may have a lot of confidence in these brothers and sisters here, but without God and dealing with your heart through his spirit and without looking to Jesus to get saved, you're not going to make it. Why is that? Because you've broken God's law and you're guilty. And as I said the other night, not only have you broken his law, and I didn't say it preaching, I'm talking about when I was talking back there. You've broken God's law. You're guilty. You've been tried and sentenced, let me just tell you. And you're just going through life right now waiting for the sentence to be carried out. waiting for the sentence to be carried out. And the only hope that you have is for a pardon, let me just tell you. And without that pardon, you're going to have the sentence executed on you, and hell is going to enlarge itself for you to squeeze in. Just you. It ain't no room in heaven, in hell. There's no room in hell, let me just tell you. Yeah, see, it enlarges itself, as we said, we're cutting up about over the something another preacher said, the hell enlarges itself daily. Why? Just to make it big enough for the sinners that died that day to slide in. And let me tell you something. God doesn't want you there. It wasn't made for you. It was made for the devil and his angels. You better realize if you don't get there with Jesus, you're going to have the penalty executed. And without mercy from the Lord to pardon you, that's where you're going. What does he say here? But therefore faith cometh. But before faith cometh, we were kept under law, shut up until the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. It was the schoolmaster. Now I've studied that until I finally learned what it meant. I had different feelings about it whenever I first started preaching. The schoolmaster wasn't the teacher. The schoolmaster was a slave of the master. It was a slave that took his children to school, let me just tell you. And that's what the law was. The law never saved anybody. The purpose of the law was to carry everybody to Christ, let me just tell you. Always did, always has. That's the only way they got saved. You say, why did they do all this stuff over in the Old Testament? It's pictures, shadows of the things that were to come, let me just tell you. The difference, I believe it was said the other night, you see, back in the Old Testament, Adam and Eve and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they looked forward to the crucified Christ. It hadn't happened yet. We preach Christ is already crucified over there some 2,000 years ago. That's what we preach, you see, and he's already been crucified. Law only did come in, and you can read about that a lot, different things. We won't go any further into that. What does it say here then? But God commendeth his love towards us, and while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. His blood. Look over here to John, about the 15th chapter. Down here in the 12th verse. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Brothers and sisters, I want you to think about that. He commanded us to love one another as he had loved us. Let me tell you something. You better work on that. I believe, but I can tell you I need to work on it. You see, to love you the way that Christ loves you, that's a full-time job, let me just tell you. And that's what we ought to focus on, you see. The Bible says over there, we should esteem our brother better than ourselves. We need to do that, you see. That love for one another, y'all showed a lot of love here since we've been here. These children see that. They see that. But what did he say? In that next verse, he said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for you. He laid down his life for me. Well, let me tell you something. If you'd have been the only one that ever got saved, he would have still laid it down. We need to remember that, the children of God, what the Lord did for us. Let's go back over to Romans 3. For all have sinned and come up short of the glory of God. All have sinned. If you don't see yourself as a sinner, you say, I got that trouble in my heart. But I'm a good little boy or a good little girl. If you see it that way, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Let me tell you something. you've been sentenced to the death penalty. See, God doesn't work the way man does. You look back over in the garden. What'd they do over there? God told them not to eat of that tree, the fruit of that tree. Told them not to eat of it. What'd they do? They took it and Eve ate it and gave it to her husband and he did eat. What'd they do? They broke God's law. What was the sentence? Death was the sentence, let me just tell you. Death was the sentence. We call it petty larceny today. Let me tell you, we smooth it over and call all kinds of stuff. See, we let sin go so much today. But let me tell you something. It ain't funny with God, you see, because I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but us as brothers and sisters, you ever thought about the stuff that you're doing now? Hey, is that adding to the things that Christ suffered for over there on the cross? We might want to think about that. He paid for all our sins in the past. He prayed for the sins in the present and all in the future. How are you going to get out to heaven if he didn't? You see, when he cleaned her up from all the way back, all the way forward, and I'm talking about all the way to my mama's womb over there. Cleaned it all up. We need to realize that we're sinners. Sinners saved by grace. And I tell you, if you're here, and lost, that you need to take and see us the way it is. We're trying to help you the best we can. But if the devil's put something in your heart that you've seen one of the brothers and sisters do, let me tell you something. They're not perfect. Why? They're still in the flesh, let me just tell you. They're trying the best they do, the best they can. Let's go back over to, there's one other verse. I didn't know when I was going to need it because when I was sitting up here, the Lord told me to, and told me to look this up. Back over to John 15 and here in the 20th, I believe it is. May need to go a little further down. I can't find it right now, so we're just going to have to let her go. I need to let it go. I can't find it. And we'll let it go. Let's go back over to Matthew in the 27th chapter over here. I want you to know that here in the 27th chapter of Matthew, there's some time frame right here that's pretty interesting because there's more written about the Lord's life in the last few days of his life than there is in the rest of the book, let me just tell you. A focus period of time. There's a lot of volume written before this, but that's a long period of time, some 2.5-3 years. But the last few days of his life, it is very intense what was recorded here. And we have in the Jesus arrested, and we have him brought before Pilate here. And he took and it's tried. In the 15th verse of the 27th chapter. Now at the feast of the governor was wont to release unto them the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had them a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom would you have that I release unto you, Barnabas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for the envy they had delivered him. It says, then when he sat down at the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barnabas and destroy Jesus. And what did he say? The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye have that I release? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They said unto him, let him be crucified. I want you to tell you here, as I told you a while ago, you're guilty. Jesus come before this trial this night, which was illegal to start with, and he come before them. And he had done nothing wrong, nothing wrong that they could find. Their witnesses contradicted themselves, or they paid. There's a contradiction in all their testimony. But the people cried out here because of the chief priest for them to crucify this innocent man. And I want you to realize, as we go through this, I want you to think about this, that not just the people were there that night. Let me just tell you, I believe with all my heart that all our sins was there that night. And when they were crying out, crucify him, your sins were there with mine. Let me just tell you, you were there just like I was, crying out to crucify him. And what does he say? Pilate said unto him, what shall I do? When the Lord Jesus, he said, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Let me tell you something. Brother Jeff preached last night, and he preached about several different things. He preached about them mocking Noah over there. Let me tell you something. These people here, there does not got there's a lot of the prophets of the Old Testament. You can see where the people rose up against them. But let me tell you something. This is not just a prophet. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the God that made this world, here before him. And what do they want done to him? They want him crucified. That's the way the devil works, let me just tell you. He'll put in your heart, this world is still trying to put him out of existence. They thought if they would kill him and put him in the grave, that would be it. But you see, the grave couldn't hold him. Why? Because it had no legal right to him. 3 days to prove that he was really dead. And then he had to let him go. And you see, when I die, I'm going in the ground. I'm going to be there the Lord calls. Why? Because I justly deserve so. But he didn't. Crucify him. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. Then release he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The Jews there, the chief priests and the elders that were there, and all the other people said, let his blood be upon us. Let me tell you how it works with God. It's still on their children. And a friend, let me tell you something. It is still on their children tonight. Generation after generation after generation. They rejected Christ over there, and the Lord is still not moved on them and won't move on them until the fullness of the Gentiles. I believe we're getting about there myself. I don't know. I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I see a fullness of the Gentiles. Why? Go to our churches and look around. People got more better stuff to do in this world in their own eyes than they do coming in here and trying to lift up spiritual sacrifices, holy, acceptable in God. You better be worried, let me just tell you, Senator Friend, because when this moves somewhere else, and it's going to move or the end's going to come, let me tell you. What do you mean? The gospel ain't going to stay someplace that's not prosperous. Not going to stay someplace that's not prosperous. You look all through time, there's some of them talking about going on a tour up in West Virginia and different places. Let me tell you something. Those people had the gospel too, and they let it slip away. Now their children are dying because they didn't take care of the gospel, let me just tell you. These people had the Lord of glory crucified, and they said, let his blood be on us. It is, and it's going to stay on them. 2,000 years. How many souls? Not only that, you look at what happened to them some 30 years after, or some 40 years after that over there. Israel ceased to exist as a nation. Ceased to exist as a nation for some 1,900 years. Somewhere around there, 1948, they were reestablished. They didn't even have a land. Lord wiped them off. You better be worried, because I don't know how long the Lord's going to be, but let me tell you something. He already set her up for a reason. That's the only nation that's ever been in existence that's been reestablished in this world. No other nation has been wiped out the way Israel did. way it happened over there, that the Romans come in by God's guidance and wiped them out. And then they got reestablished as a nation. It's never happened in the history of this world. What does he say here? Then the soldiers took him unto the common hall and gathered unto them the whole bands of soldiers, and they stripped him. They stripped him down and put him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it up on his head. And they reed in his right hand, and they bowed and kneed before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Let me just tell you something. I believe that whenever Noah was doing his building over there, people were mocking him. Let me just tell you. I believe that whenever Brother Jeff said the other night, that as Lot came out of over there of Sodom and Gomorrah, I believe that some of his family and all the people there were mocking him, let me just tell you. Mocking him. But let me tell you something. That is mocking a child of God. But these men here, they're not mocking a child of God. They're mocking the Son of God, let me just tell you. And you better, let me tell you something. You might not have thought about this, but when the Lord of glory comes down and he's dealing with your heart and you push it off, you're rejecting Jesus, let me just say. I'll just put it, I'll turn on television and push him off. I never do that. It's to me and the Lord have a talk. Sinner friend, you better take note of this. Because, see, you're making a mockery. What do you mean? I mean that you ain't got time for Jesus. And you need him more than anything else in this world. We've been here the entire, ever since Sunday, the whole week. And the Lord has moved through, I believe, different times. You ever think about pushing through and trying to touch the hem of his garment? Sound pretty simple, didn't it? She just pushed through the crowd. Her heart was doing this. You know why? She had an issue of blood. That issue of blood would cause her to be stoned if they knew what was wrong with her. She wasn't supposed to be around anybody. She wasn't supposed to touch anybody. Everybody she touched going through that crowd, everybody she touched become unclean by the Jewish law. Everybody, except for Jesus, let me just tell you. When she touched him, the uncleanness went away, let me just tell you. And if you'll touch him, he'll take it away from you too. You got to touch him. When he's talking to you, don't push it off. And you can see this, and they come, and they found a man, Simon, to carry his cross here, and they come up to the place, and they crucified him. Before they crucified him, they offered and said they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Now, I've studied this before, and see, they was giving him this as kind of a painkiller. He didn't want it. Didn't want it. He wanted to endure all the pain. He didn't need no painkiller. Didn't need that. You may have thought they was doing this to ease him off when he was suffering this. No, they give it to the ones they crucified to extend their time on the cross. To extend it. What does he say here? And they crucified him and parted his garments. I want you to think about that. We talk about driving the nails in his hand and nails in his legs. I don't call it nails. I call it spikes. Because that's what it represented. And Pilate had a message wrote down. They put it over there and says, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Mocking him. Let me just tell you. Then there were two thieves crucified with him, the one on the right and the one on the left. And they that passed by reviled him. Reviled him. Wagging their heads. The soldiers there set him up and they mocked him. They set him up with a crown of thorns and a purple garment on. But he's hanging there on the cross. And the thing was, when they're going by, they're wagging their heads. Shame. That's what they did to the one that was hanging on the cross. As a symbol that they were putting shame on him. Putting this plaque over him, he was the king of the Jews. And they said, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests mocked him with the scribes and the elders, saying, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. You know why Jesus didn't come down from the cross? Because of his love for us. Dear friend, he loved you enough to hang up there and endure the pain. You see, those spikes, I call them nails, they didn't hold him on that cross. He could have said the words, and there'd have been 10,000 angels come down, or whatever he needed to take and deliver him. At different times, they'd come up against him, and they was aiming to push him off a cliff, and he blinded them all, walked through them. But this day wasn't that day. This day the price had to be paid. This day, Peter had just said, a few hours earlier, he said, I'll go with you, Lord, all the way to the cross. But no, he couldn't. Why? This was Jesus's time. This was his job to do. It was determined by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Go over to Acts 2 and read it. The determinate counsel. All the God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost got together and they determined. God knew what man was going to do. And they determined as the heavens were searched and the earth was searched and underneath the earth was searched. And the only acceptable payment for our sins was the crucifying of the Son of God. And he willingly said over there before it, not even one thing that you see was made that he would go and die for us to pay for our sins. Hanging up there. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't comprehend the struggle there. If I had the power, you're dead. And all of them would have fell dead. But see, his love held him up there. His love for you, sinner friend. Let me tell you how we are. Human race. 2 days before this, he was riding in on a donkey and they were yelling, Hosanna to the King. Hosanna. And a couple of days later, I don't know, I think it was the 9th or 10th of Nisan, this is the 14th here, and they're yelling, crucify him. That's the way we are as a human race. God providing the cure for us. God providing it. What do you... I got a couple more thoughts here. And you just stay with me just a few more moments. Over in the 1 Corinthians 2. I don't need that. It's just going over to... Sorry about that. Let's go on over to Acts 7. Down to the last part of this. This is Stephen's sermon. I want to ask you about this, sinner friend. 7 and down in about the 51st verse. Stephen's preaching here, and he's preaching to a bunch, and I believe the Lord's working on them here. And he's telling them about the things that they've done. And all the things through time. And this, there's not, you read this book and you read about man and mankind, there's not a pretty picture in here about us, about anybody, except for Jesus. And what does he say here? He says, he's talking to the ones that are there that are about to take and kill him. He says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. What's he talking about? He's told them the gospel message here. The Lord is pricking them in the hearts, and they're resisting, let me just tell you. And that's still the case today. Men all over this world are resisting. They'll do everything else they can except for God's plan to come to try to get it right with God. But let me tell you something. God has a plan, and it is the plan. It says, which of the prophets have your not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now, just one, and who you have now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition and angels and have not kept it. What'd he tell them? You crucified the Lord of glory. You've crucified him. You took him. And that's the way they was, and that's the way we still are, brothers and sisters. We'll hold these people up, but we won't look at ourselves. But over in the Philippian letter, pretty clear here what Jesus did. I'll go back to the 5th. That this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. A servant, brothers and sisters, we need to remember that our Lord set the example. And said, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, wherein God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of the things in heaven, of the things in earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Let me tell you something. You can do a lot of things with God's Christ. You can do a lot of things with him. People will say he's a good man. People will say a lot of things about him. God's not happy with that. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Opportunity in that. You have an opportunity in that. I didn't go into this, but the two thieves on the cross there, right there with him. All this is going on. And they start railing on him too. They're hanging there dying. Dear friend, you're here tonight dying. You're here tonight dying, let me just tell you. And the Lord's reaching out for you tonight. Are you going to reach back? I'm not talking about with your hand. I'm talking about with your heart. It has to be from the heart. For with the heart man believeth in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what we've been telling you all week. We've told you that you keep seeking him and seeking till you get peace. And when you got peace, you got something to use your mouth for to tell us about. And you need to. When you get saved, don't hold on to it. Why? Because you're holding back and keeping honor and glory from God. And let me just tell you, we need to tell about it. And we need to tell these little ones, when you get saved, tell about it. Don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to it. Jesus did all that. And he's all brought down to the night. The service. The service is not a surprise to him. Not a bit. And what's in your heart tonight, coming down from glory, not a surprise either. Question is, what are you going to do tonight with Jesus? You going to push him off? You going to push him off? Or are you going to come to him? What are you going to do with him? Are you going to reject him like they did? Or are you going to come to him? I don't know what you need to do. But let me tell you something God in glory does. And his spirit will come right down to your heart and tell you. Listen to your heart. You can listen to a lot of people here. You can try a lot of different things. Listen to your heart. When we stand and have a song, listen to your heart. This altar's open to you. Should have told you that to start with. What are you going to do with Jesus tonight? Well, all the things he done for you, the way he loves you, what are you going to do for Jesus? Get you. Won't you come seek him? What have you got to lose?